God brings them back to difficulty. I want to read a scripture in Philippians 1:6. I want to pray, then I want to get into what I feel like the Lord wants me to speak to us this morning. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you, notice he is capitalized, speaking of Jesus, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the hope that we were singing about earlier. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you. Hope that's not just in thin air, but Lord, hope in you, Lord, that we know that the answer comes from you. And God, you said in your word here, as we've read, we're to be confident in that you will complete everything that you started. And Father, we praise you and we thank you today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. The more we're determined to finish strong, the more we're determined to go into 2020, determined to see God's hand at work in our life. See, it takes determination. It takes determination to hold on to an answer even when you don't see it. It takes determination in knowing that God is going to do all that he promises that he will do. And so I believe that, see, 2019, December 31st on Tuesday, that's not the end. I want us to finish strong. That's not the end. That's just leading into another chapter of our life with God. Another year. Somebody said earlier, it's a new decade. It is. We're leaving even not only just another year, we're leaving a decade. We're going into a new decade, 2020. I believe that our vision will be sharper. I believe that we'll see things clear. I don't know that we'll have all the answers. Wouldn't it be great? Somebody said the other day, if I just knew everything, how it would work out. I said, well, that would be great. That would be nice. But he doesn't lay it out before us. I believe one reason he doesn't is because we would be overwhelmed by the answer. So he gives us what we need when we need it. And that requires faith and trust and determination to push through what God wants to do. I want us to look the next few moments at the story of Joshua. This really wasn't on purpose when God gave me the story. I said, well, now, isn't that interesting? Josh is here. We're going to talk about Josh. So there's no connection there. But Joshua was used mightily of God. But he worked under Moses and worked with Moses for, I don't know how long, but it was over 40 years. As a youngster, Joshua knew Moses, and God had called Moses to deal with some hard-headed, bull-headed people that wanted to have their way. But yet God led Moses to work with these people to bring them to a place of their promised land. So God promised them a land, and God used Moses to do that. Well, Moses had a right hand. Moses had an assistant. Moses had someone that he could rely on through thick and thin, and his name was Joshua. And Joshua, as you know, see, we can come here on Sundays and put a tie on, but you know what? I'm still Mike. We're all still human. We're still imperfect. We still have our human ways. Until we get to heaven, there's only so much that we can be like Christ. I mean, on a good day, we're still human. And so when Joshua was working with Moses, don't you know that he saw Moses at his best and he saw Moses at his worst? He saw Moses when he was feeling great and encouraged, and he saw Moses when he was complaining and worried. And so that kind of reflects who we are. You know, so we've got some Moses here, we've got some Joshuas here. But the thing about Joshua, he was loyal. He never gave up. He always hung right in there with Moses. He was serving God, and God instructed him to serve Moses. So Joshua was there with Moses. He was praying for Moses. He was there to assist and to do what he could to help Moses. Well, the time came that Moses, he was just about to lead the people into the promised land, and it was just a coincidence. How many knows there aren't coincidences with God? So when I say coincidence, I'm saying that in tongue-in-cheek. Moses dies. And so the people are probably wondering, well, what are we going to do now? Moses is dead. So Joshua, after all these years of training, unbeknownst to Joshua, God was training him for this very moment. And because of Joshua's diligence, because of his determination, because of his willingness to serve God, because of his willingness to even overlook sometimes the imperfections of Moses, he stuck with God, and God brought him to a place of using him for the new chapter. For something new Joshua had never done before. And so Joshua has some choices to make. Either I'm going to run, go hide. I'm going to call my doctor because I need something to deal with this over, you know. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to run. I'm going to do this. There's no way that I can handle what God's called me to do. This is beyond me. That would be the human thought. And maybe Joshua had some of these thoughts run through his mind. The bottom line is that Joshua decided to pursue God. His lack of experience, his background of never being in that place before, he saw Moses there. Maybe there are some things that he learned from Moses that he shouldn't do or should do. But Joshua never stopped learning. He was continually learning something from Moses, from how God would use Moses, from Moses' interaction back to God. And so God was preparing Joshua for a new season. God was preparing Joshua all these number of years, probably over four decades, of training. You say, well, that's a long time. That is a long time. That's a long time for Joshua to just be hanging in there. And then for all these people that are wandering around, that all the things that they were dealing with in life, the children of Israel, they've been given this promise, and yet when's this promise going to come about? And now God's taking our leader out? So what were the people of Israel thinking? Children of Israel, well, you know, we've been talking about this thing, we've been dreaming about this thing. Pastor Moses gets up and tells us just to hang on, it's coming, God's going to fulfill his promise, and now this happens? Is this really going to happen, or has this just been fluff? So you can see that the human way would be a little bit confusing, would be a little opportunity of lack of faith, if you will. Lack of faith that what's going to happen is going to happen. But Joshua decided to stay in there. Joshua chapter 1, we'll read verses 2 through 9. Now here we see God speaking to Joshua. This is what God says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Paul's right there. Notice that God says he gave them the land. Now you would think that God will just go ahead and send the deed on over and wouldn't require them to actually go to the land. Well, I'm giving you this and I promise you the land. You fulfilled everything I've called you to do. So I'm going to Pony Express you the deed to this land. So you've got ownership. You can put it in your safe deposit box. But that's not what God said. He said, I've given you this land. And what does it say in verse 2? Arise and go. Isn't that interesting? God gave them a promise, but now God's making a requirement. He's telling them, giving them an instruction to arise. To fulfill our promise, there's something we've got to do. We didn't just skim by 2019, going to bed, getting up and saying, well, God, if you want us to do something, just send it through the mail. If it's in a hurry, send it FedEx. Otherwise, we're here. But God told them, I'm giving you the promise. Now you've got to arise and go. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses. The same thing I've told Moses, the same thing I'm telling you, the same promise I made to him, I'm making to you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun. Wouldn't it be cool if y'all ever bought a piece of land, the surveyors come out and they've got to put a post here, then they've got to get out. It may take some days. Put another post out. Why don't they just say, well, from this point to as far as the sun can shine, that's yours. Wouldn't that be nice? Give them an idea. Maybe they'll start doing that. So God was telling them specifically what territory that they had been given. He said, this area shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's for somebody today. That is for somebody today. And then God speaks some encouragement and instruction to Joshua. We're going to talk about this for a little bit. He said, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He's not stuttering here in verse 7. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it. Is there a reason why he's given this instruction? Was maybe there a possibility that there'd be a temptation to run and hide? Maybe a temptation to say, I'm overwhelmed. I've done all I can do. I'm through with this. I'm going to give up and walk away. Has anybody ever been tempted to do that? Amen? We all have. So God has given instruction, do not turn from it. Let me tell you, God is saying to you, do not turn from it. To the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Is that speaking to anybody this morning, or is that just me? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You say, well, okay, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. There's much more to the Bible than the Ten Commandments. Amen? The Ten Commandments is our framework, but he's talking about the specific things that he's called you to do, specific things that he's told you to involve yourself in, to use your talents for, to pray for, to... He's talking even beyond the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are just who we are, right? We have a framework that we work in, but our life is not to go through and say, okay, today I've done well on 8 out of the Ten Commandments. That's not what, right? That's not what living for Christ is. Meditating the day and night, you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Well, now, is that in just part, that's just in certain areas of your life? Surely that's not success in every area of your life. Yeah. Good success means good success. Every second that you're breathing, God says, when you do what he calls us to do, we have good success. Have I not commanded you? But God, again, says this, be strong. Be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you're at the cusp of your greatest blessing, I mean, your toes are hanging off the edge of the ledge, you're at the cusp of your greatest blessing, you can expect that the devil will do all he can to discourage you, that he'll bring every temptation known to man to discourage you and to take your eyes off of where you're headed. It'll happen. Even to the point of those that you're looking at, those that you're looking toward in the human sense that's going to carry you through something and they fail to do what you've expected them to do, even then, God still has the greatest blessing in your life lined up for you, no matter what anybody else does or doesn't do. When God makes a promise, he makes a promise. We are supposed to do what God has called us to do. Now is the time not to slow down. Now is the time to be full throttle, locked in, facing ahead, going forward. You say, well, Pastor Mike, things aren't working out just like I'd like for them to. Just keep your face forward, keep going forward, and your dreams that God has put in your life, your dreams will be fulfilled. Sometimes there's things that God wants to do in the meantime, in the interim, before it's time for that goal to be met. It's not that the goal's not important. It's not that the goal's not of God. But God's doing some other things in the meantime. We've got to stay as faithful there as if the door was opening. How faithful, how excited would you be if your door opened today that you're looking? And for some of you, it will happen. And others, it's going to be a little bit of a walk before it gets there. But the same excitement, the same enthusiasm, the same passion, discover it and don't look back. God has put that passion in you. God has put that hunger in you. God has put that force in you to seek him and to find him and to pursue him. And that's where we need to be, no matter what happens. But this new chapter that we're coming into, I believe is going to open some new doors for a lot of people. It's new doors that God's going to open, but we've got to stay tuned to him, our ears to him, our eyes to him, and to know what he's saying for us to do. Because God's going to bring blessing into our life, great blessing, as we stay focused on him. See, God gives us many times a picture. I have a picture of 2020, but I don't have the full-blown poster yet. I've got glimpses. I've got pieces where he's just given me. And from that alone, I know that God is going to do something great. It's going to be huge. As I said earlier, we're not here to make things happen. See, we can make things happen, and it can be the biggest mess. And then we've got to spend time trying to clean up our mess. I'm not here preaching make something happen. I'm here to say God's going to make it happen, but we've got to cross the bridge to the new chapter. Just like, just like God told the people, okay, this is what I've promised you. Now it's time to cross the bridge. So there's a time, and I believe it's now, as we're going to cross the bridge together. We're going to see some new things happen. We're going to see God move us in ways. And you know what? Every person that has been connected to this church over the last 30, since 1989, I believe that there's still a connection there. We've got people in Atlanta. We've got people in New Zealand. We've got people everywhere all over the world. And there's a spiritual connection to this church, the impact that this church has had since 1989. There's a fruit that's going to come out of that we've not yet seen. From the first day that Pastor Don and Miss Ann opened the church doors of this church on St. Simon's in 1989, there's been fruit. There's been seeds planted. And you say, well, where's the fruit at? We've seen some fruit, but we're going to begin to see more fruit. All the seeds that's been sown, all the water that's been poured, all the diligence, all the time, all the work, even blood, sweat, and tears, all of that, we're going to see it's going to be like a lush garden. I just see it rolling in. It's not going to be anything that we have done. It's going to be the obedience of his people honoring God. And so we're on the cusp of that happening. So we're not going to make anything happen, but we've got to do our part. We've got to walk the bridge, so to speak. We've got to cross over into the promised land. And so there are things that we've got to do, that God's going to speak to us to do, that we're going to do our part, and God's going to take care of the details. So sometimes we're apprehensive to do what God's called us to do because we don't see the details. God is the God of the details. Thank God he doesn't leave that up to us. He'll open this door and say, Mike, this is my way. This is it. And so my first thought is, okay, how is this going to work to where we're headed? You know, that's the analytical mind wanting to map it all out. And more times than not, God will say, this is the door. Just walk in it. Just do what I've called you to do. I'll take care of the details. And God is very faithful about taking care of the details. He's faithful about bringing things in our life that we didn't even know were coming. He's real good about bringing into us a place just like he did Joshua that's foreign to us. No experience, no background. Have I ever been part of a daycare, getting a daycare started? Never. But you know what? God's teaching me as I go. Many ways of most everything else in my life, God's taught me. And so we learn to trust God that he's going to take us down the path to teach us what we need to know. The good thing about being taught by God, we learn the right way. We don't have to be retrained. So, you know, in the business world, you get people that's been trained one way. They've been doing something for 30 or 40 years. And when you hire them, they still want to do it the same way they've always done it. So you've got to untrain them before you can train them. So if we come to God and say, God, it's interesting that God didn't have a training session in before he called Joshua to do that. Well, the training was, it's what I call OJT, on-job training. And that OJT, for 40 years, God was training Joshua and he didn't even know it. So God has a way of showing us what he wants us to do, but we've got to be faithful in pursuing him to do it. And he promises to bless us. He promises. Some of you are in a place where you say, well, I don't see God's hand working. This seems to be boring or unproductive. Let me say, God is never boring and God is never unproductive. God is always doing something. God is always up to something. He's never at the fridge with his heels kicked up. He is doing something. He's always productive. Even when we're chill, and we need to have time to unplug and chill, he's never bored. He's never boring. He's never unproductive. We're to continue to pursue God and trust that he's putting it all together. Numbers 11:23, God told Moses this. Before Moses died, he said, the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you will see whether what I say will happen to you or not. There are four things that we don't need to focus on. Don't focus on how long it's taken. Well, God, it's been 3 years. Didn't you put us together for a reason? Can't this happen right now? It doesn't matter how long it takes. Don't be focused on how long it takes. Be focused on God is working. That's the first thing not to focus on. Don't focus on the difficulties you're facing. The difficulties I'm facing. Why am I having to face these difficulties? Because God is building a depth and a maturity in you that you wouldn't learn if things were all easy and apple pie. I mean, if you're like me, you got to learn the hard way. And so God says, okay, I'm going to teach you some things that you weren't learned any other way. So sometimes we focus on the difficulties. We're not supposed to focus on the difficulties. We're not supposed to focus on those things that aren't going our way. Because even when things aren't going our way, God is still working. God is a pro at working in difficulties. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God is real good about working in difficulties. When the heat is turned up, when the smoke is boiling, he's real good about doing what he said he'll do. Don't focus on the unclear road ahead. Well, the road's unclear. If I just knew the road, then I'd be willing to step on that road. Listen, let God take care of the details. Be faithful to what he says he will do, what God is calling you to do. Don't look at the unclear road ahead. And surely the goodness, number four, don't focus on your inadequacies. Well, I'm less than. I'm not going to do it the same way Moses did it. I'm not going to do it like this person does it or that person does it. Thank God for his grace and mercy. Because of his grace and mercy, he says, you know what? Be obedient to me. And if you do it the wrong way, that's okay. I'll even make those wrong ways that you do to turn out for good. Anybody ever heard that? There's a scripture somewhere, maybe in Romans 8:28 that says that. So even our inadequacies, God can use. Even our imperfections, ask David, God can use. Even our slip-ups, our mistakes, our fumbles, our face planted on the dirt. Don't focus on the inadequacies. Focus in on how God can use all things to work together. And he can be glorified through it. God will equip you to experience his next level. God will equip you to do what he's called you to do. And so God gave Joshua, we just read it here. God gave Joshua three instructions. The first one is be strong. Be strong. Well, I don't feel like I can be strong. I feel weak. I feel like I can't hardly get out of bed. I feel like water. Well, you know, there was a time back in the early to mid 90s that I came to a place that I was doing everything I was asked to do. If I was asked to do it, my answer was yes. My answer was yes before I was asked. And so I found myself at a place to where I was saying yes to a lot more things that God called me to do. And so at a point, I came to a certain point where I was toast. I was done. I was tapped out. Well, you know what happened? That wasn't God's fault. That was somebody else's fault. It wasn't God's fault after all. And so I learned from that. So our strength, we've got to know, comes from God. Our strength does not come from us. Yes, you need sleep. You need to eat well. You need to be active. You need to do all those things. We need to take care of this temple. But our strength, we need to learn, comes from God. So if we're as dependent upon God as I am that caffeine in the morning, then I'm going to do well. I'm going to learn that my strength comes from him and not from the coffee. Amen. So be strong, he said. The second thing he said, be of good courage. Be so courageous that you know that you can do all things through Christ. So courageous that if God tells you to do it, if it seems impossible, it's probably God. Have you seen anybody in the Word of God that was successful in what they did for the kingdom of God, that they did on their own strength, that they were courageous within themselves? No. If they accomplished anything, it was because they stayed tuned in to God, and it was through the courage of God that God calls them to accomplish great things. And then thirdly, he said, meditate on God's word. Why do we have to meditate on God's word? Well, I had a sermon series not long ago talking about the word and how God uses the word to feed us the strength and the power and the answers and everything else. The word of God is him speaking to us. You want a word of God? Just open it up. That is the word of God. And so we've got to meditate on that word, because whatever we meditate on, whatever is in our mind and tumbles around on a continual basis, the Bible says, as we think in our hearts, so are we. So we need to think like this, so we are that. Yes. Right? That's the only way. So if we meditate on that, see, that's the key. Be strong, be of courage, meditate on God's word. Through that, we learn that we can trust God. We know that he will never fail. We know that he will never go back on his word. And what part of Joshua knowing that God would give him strength and courage was that he stayed in the right company. He stayed with the right group of people. He stayed with people that was uplifting. Not necessarily saying, man, you're the best things that sliced bread. Not that kind of encouragement. The kind of encouragement that says, listen, trust God for that. Trust God for that thing that you're about to go into. Trust God for that new job, for more finances, for the all that debt that needs to be paid off. Trust God. God will give you the answer. So we need to stay in the right company where we receive the encouragement that we need. Sometimes we get in the right company that they tell us what we want to hear. That's not what we need. If we're going to go find somebody that tells us what we want to hear, you could tell yourself that. Well, I think you need to do this. We need somebody that loves us, can be objective, that can speak the word of God to us, even sometimes when it hurts. Sometimes truth isn't what we necessarily want to hear, but it's what we need to hear. So we need to stay in the right company. Josh stayed in the right company as he moved forward. Joshua maintained the servant's heart. He maintained the servant's heart. We see that he started at the very bottom. He didn't mind. Yeah, I don't mind picking up trash on the grounds. I don't mind doing what I need to do. We need to be at a place where we don't mind doing whatever God calls us to do. Sometimes God will test our humility too. He's good about that. Like I said before, we can either humble ourselves or he'll humble us, one or the other. And Joshua remained faithful. He remained faithful and consistent to God. Remaining faithful and consistent to God is important. It keeps those wheels turning. It's not that we're a stranger to God. You know, once a week we come, well, Lord, like I said last Sunday, I'm going to continue my prayer from last Sunday. We need to continually be in prayer. We need to continually be in communication, faithful and consistent to God through this, the ending of this year and this new year. I'm reminded of a race, a relay race. When I was a kid, we had a relay race, and I don't know if they still do it or not in school. Kendra's a teacher. But we had a relay race, and so there were two teams. Well, these two teams might have been made out of 10 children per side. And so the first child would run back around, and then pass the baton to the second child to the third child. And so at some point, before it gets to the end, somebody's ahead and somebody's behind. You know, they weren't usually even. Well, as you approached the eighth person in line, coming up on the ninth person, there was a little bit different atmosphere and excitement than what there was on the first, second, and third child, right? And so I would say to you, as we're approaching 2019, we're getting towards the end of the line, there needs to be that same passion, that same excitement as a relay. That we're careful, we're more intentional about how we're passing this thing off, how we're communicating with God, how we're receiving the word from God, what we're doing with it. We need to be more intentional. And we'll find that our passion and our excitement is more, it's just more, I'm not going to say dramatic, but it's more real. Because we know that God is doing something great. Because we're coming to the end of the line, what's going to happen? Nobody knows. What's going to happen next November? Nobody knows. But it's exciting to know that God's going to do something great. We don't have to know the details. We need to pray. We need to seek God. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. This is the announcement that Joshua made to all the people. He said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord!" Exclamation point. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves." In other words, make the decision this day whom you'll serve. Just go ahead and make the decision. Go with it. Don't change your mind. "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served," that's our choice today, "that were on the other side of the river, or of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And here's the declaration that Joshua made that I believe that we should make today. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We just need to declare it. Declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So we first need to make the decision. Today, how can I finish strong? How can I approach these last few days of 2019 more intentional, more focused, more passionate about God, and come into 2020 with an open mind and open heart and say, "God, use me. Give me the instruction, and I'm going to be diligent to pursue you." First, we've got to make up our mind. Decide, make the decision today to serve God. Make it today. And then secondly, we've got to take some action. We can't expect to cross the bridge without crossing the bridge. We can't expect to have ownership of God's promised land without us doing something. So, Pastor Mike, if God's wanting me to have this, can he bring it to me? He could. But I've never seen that happen. I can't say that I would receive what God has given us had I been sitting in my office and praying 24/7, just sitting there, "God, bring it to me. Bring it to me. calls those county commissioners to just send me a letter in the mail and saying, it's okay. Don't worry about running through those hoops. It's fine. We like you so much. You're such a great guy. Don't even come to that meeting on Thursday night. We love you. That never happened. It was the opposite. Don't come. We'll call you. So we've got to take action. We're required to take action. Every promise that God brings into our life, there's an instruction tied to it. Why? Why? Because we're human and we can decide which way we want to go. God didn't drop a chip in us and say, okay, you're going to serve me whether you like it or not. He gave us a choice. We can serve him or we don't have to serve him. We can receive a reward or we can get what we think is the reward. But it will always require action. Salvation requires us to what? Believe. It's free, yes, but we must first believe on Jesus Christ before we can be saved. Isn't that what the word says? An action is required. God's given us the promise, but it's up to me to arise and go. And then thirdly, we need to have faith in God. Do we truly have faith in God that he will do what he said he will do? There's no reason why we can't have faith in God, except that we think that our way is higher than God's ways. I've come to find out that it's not. There is no way of man that's higher than God's way. We've got to have faith in God. See, Peter walked out on the water. Why? Because he made the decision to serve God. He took action and he trusted God. And so God expects the same thing out of us. Even when there's darkness all around, we can't see what's going on. We can still trust God. We take the responsibility too many times that I've got to make this happen. There's a popular verse. You don't have it, but you can make a note of it. Isaiah 43:19. It's a real popular verse that we quote many times. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We love that verse. We love it. But what does it say? Who does it say is going to bring the new? It says, I will do a new thing. Who is I? God is I. We've got to trust God that he's going to bring the new thing. Trust him. So the instruction really is real easy if we trust him. The instruction is real difficult. It's really hard if I don't trust him. Our grandchildren would get on the side of the bed when they were younger, get on the side of the bed, and they would just fall backwards onto the floor, except that we were there to catch them. That is trust. That's the kind of trust we need to have in our Father God. Where we step on a ledge and say, God, here's all I got. I'm in your hands. When we trust God, then he says, I will do a new thing. He promises that what he will do what he says he will do. And there's never a time that we shouldn't trust God. There's never a time. We need to trust him this afternoon. We need to trust him tomorrow morning. No matter what, no matter how familiar you are with what's going on in your life, we must always trust God. Because I would say 9 times out of 10, God is wanting to do something even bigger and greater in your life. There have been just normal appointments. There have been normal times that I'm doing what I know to do, and I've done it over and over again. But many times when I truly listen to God, God has got something else in there hidden that unless my eyes were open, I would have never seen it. God will show it to me, and I'm saying, wow, I almost went right past that. I almost just automatically, my instinct was just to flow through and do this, whatever it was. And then God shows me this right here. It was hidden. God was testing me to see if I was trusting him even in that time. Even in our usual daily lives, always trust God. You know what? There's never going to be a comfort zone either. When we trust God, it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. I'm not comfortable with doing that thing. I'm not comfortable with stepping out like you're talking about, Pastor Mike. Well, God always calls us out of our comfort zone. Joshua wasn't comfortable. Peter wasn't comfortable. Moses wasn't comfortable. That's why I got so frustrated. It's not happening like I want it to. Why is that burning bush talking to me? Why is it burning in the first place? God will test us. And so we've got to find out just how excited we are to step out of ourselves, step out of our comfort zone, and to do what God's called us to do. I understand there are some today with some scars, with some bruises, some hurts that you feel like's hindering you. Well, once I get this thing done, once I get this thing dealt with in my life, I'll be fine. All the disciples had some things that were left undone when they said, I'll follow Jesus. When they dropped their nets, when they threw their keys off, they went and followed Christ. He didn't say, okay, you tend to this thing, you get your stuff in order. I believe there's God is in order. God is in getting things together, yes. But you know what? He doesn't expect us to come to him perfect. Because if he did, he would have had to die. He said, you get perfect, and then you come to me. I came to die for the perfect, not for the sinners. That's not what the Bible says. He came to die for those that were lost, that were full of sin, that were imperfect. And thank God I'm part of that. You know, you could put a tie and lipstick on a pig and make him look better too. But he's still a pig. So a tie and a coat doesn't change who we are. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Don't let your scars, your battle wounds, hinder you from following Christ. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. He didn't just say run. He said run with endurance. Why? Because we're gonna face some things in life, just like they do in a foot race. There are some things, there are some pebbles along the way, there are some imperfections along the way that when we experience those things, we've got to know that we're enduring to the end. Lay aside every weight, run with endurance the race that is set before us. God knows the way. God knows what we need. God knows when we need it. We've got to trust him. And know that 2019, as it comes to a close this coming week, we're going to see a higher level. We're going to see, I believe, God's power poured out like never before. The Bible says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh. And so we as a church, we come here on Sundays to worship God. But you know what? Our responsibility is to touch people outside of this church. Our responsibility is to love on people outside of this church. Tell them about Christ. You know what? Christ loves you. I love you. And be an ear. Sometimes people just need to talk. Just be an ear for them. Well, I don't have the answers. We're not called to have the answers, are we? We're called to know God who has all the answers. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our power comes from his might. Next Sunday, I'll be talking more about that, about how we dwell in God's might, in his power, to go forward into 20. But you can face anything. You can face anything with God leading the way. 2019 may be a huge success for you. 2019 may be a huge failure for you. But all in all, you're here. There's breath in your body. God wants to do something in and through your life. See, even our successes can be a downfall. So, well, if I had such a great year this year, it'd be easy for me to follow God. Well, sometimes success can mean, well, I've arrived, I've done it all, I'm going to sit back now and enjoy. So success isn't always the key. The key is to be obedient to God. Make the decision to serve God, take the action, and have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together.